Bam Erickson here with AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 3, the finale. Woo! So, what you think?
It was great. It was amazing.
Man, let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, yeah. Feel it. Feel it.
I'm trying to get to the part.
We gotta get to the part. Yeah,
here we go.
I won't lock up. Don't let me out. Don't let me out. James is locked up. James. No. James is locked up.
Man, what's up, everybody? You can follow me on all social media at. Hi, Bam Erickson.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Kenelia. You can find me on all social media at Kenelia.
What's up, everybody? I'm your girl, Robin Ayers.
Hi, guys. You can find me on all social media at Janisha_MissVI.
And in the special building, we promised you that we would have a special guest. She is one of the writers for the best show on television. Mm-hmm. Please welcome to AfterBuzz, Sophia Geary. What's up?
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for coming.
Okay, so we have a lot to talk about. So yes. Akon, hit
the bricks.
Yeah. Okay, so Greg Knox, his mentor, goes Sandoval Donovan. So let's get into the storyline. So Greg is waiting for Ruiz somewhere near Statue of Liberty. He gets a call, and he heads out to get to Ruiz's dead body. He goes and he gets the bug from him, and then he leaves. So then he goes back to the office and he talks to Jerry Donovan, the black one. Question about him, because
we call him Black Donovan.
The black one. So he's been creeping in slowly but surely.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I'm not sure like what his take is. So I wonder if he's gonna like get into the mix now, or do you think that when he mentions something about how what Greg did can basically get both of their asses in trouble? Like, what's your take on him and this storyline?
Well, I think everybody, once they get back to the office, because all we saw was James get locked up. We didn't see the people who actually care about Greg and kind of not really knew what he was doing, but had an idea that he was working on something. We haven't seen their reaction yet. Mm-hmm. So, as a Fed, FBI, DEA, it doesn't matter. You're going to look into every scenario. So, I wouldn't put it past Black Donovan later to come through with some questions or find something that Greg was working on, or, you know, because they still have his laptop. Mm-hmm. You never know. You never know.
So, anyway, our question was answered as far as the button, the recorder. So, we're just really questioning that last episode. What happened to it? Did he turn it off or whatever? But apparently, those things are really good because it lasted throughout, 24 hours or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he caught everything. So, what I realized is that Ruiz was just giving it all up on Tommy anyway. That would have been a bust. So, I mean, hey.
I'm just curious because, you know, of course, James finds out immediately from Tommy that, Ruiz is dead. I'm curious to know the timeline. I guess, you know, we wouldn't know that. Didn't he have time to maybe go and try and get that bug off his body? At least that's what I was thinking about.
I was under the impression that he was in route there, but
they were already there. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question, Sophia?
Sure.
Okay.
Hope I can answer it.
And I'm sure you can. Last episode, when Tommy was patting down Ruiz in the meeting, remember? When he stopped and were we supposed to think I'm sure we all thought that he felt the recorder or whatever, but was that moment just him finding the cigars and that was it? So we were supposed to think one thing, but it really was something else. Yeah. Okay. I wondered if he actually knew somewhere deep down. Okay.
But he kind of knew that something was up. He doesn't know specifically it was
The reason I was asking that is because he was saying all of these things when they were in the car, kind of like trying to tell on Ghost in a sense.
It might have been strategic.
It seemed like it was strategic.
Okay.
But thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. I think it was more of like, I'm gonna kill this guy. So just talking to him.
Okay.
Me a last sort of
speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Greg goes, he calls for someone to get information regarding who was the agent that gave Mike Sandoval the tip for Felice Lobos, which he thought was Agent Revere. Then we go forward and we see James breaking into Greg's house. While Greg and his mentor is having the conversation, so let's discuss both of those things. The only thing regarding James Ghost breaking into Greg's house, I was a bit surprised that he would be sloppy to take his glove off because he's like at the top of professional killers, hitmans. Like he's so professional that he wouldn't be so I don't want to say that was a terrible writing glitch, but I don't understand why he would take his glove off.
Mm-hmm. I looked at it like this. When he touched the glass, I was like, oh, well, you done. Yeah.
There you go.
Right. It's a wrap. But to me, Ghost, he knows how to do so many things. But you know, they say master of many, like, you. What is it?
Yeah,
master.
Jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah. Or, you know, it's something like that. Ghost, he sells dope amazingly. He now owns three nightclubs. And he a cat burglar. Like, come on. You can't do it all. You can't do it all, brother. You can't do it all. So when he dropped the thing, I was like, well, you a cat burglar?
Yeah.
I wasn't like, dang, he should be a master break-in artist.
I have the same.
It was. But he was frazzled. Yeah. He just saw Angela's panties on the bed. She came in, almost saw her. Yeah. So he was hurt. So
he was trying to get out of it. I honestly just don't. I don't think he thought too deeply into it. Also because of the fact he didn't really do anything in there. Yeah. He didn't hurt nobody. Nothing. So I guess he felt okay. All right, whoops. The window was left open and he left. Mm-hmm. It was very sloppy on his part. And you know, I'm pissed. That, I mean, of course, we see that later. Mm-hmm. Angie uses that against him. And he didn't even kill old dude. Right. I'm just saying.
I thought it was dope, though. I thought it was dope because if you weren't paying attention,
you would have missed it.
You would have totally missed that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I'm glad we all was on our P's and our Q's. I saw that.
At first, I thought he was in Angela's house. It was so dark. And the apartments looked so similar.
Yeah.
I first thought it was Angela's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why was Ghost up in Greg's apartment?
He was there to try to find the bug.
The bug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because he knew that Greg was going to bug him, right? Ruiz told Ghost that Greg was running him as an undercover CI.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ghost was going to get the bug because he realized Tommy may have divulged. He doesn't know what Tommy said, but the fact that Ruiz dies on it and by Tommy's hand, he needed to get that bug just in case Tommy mentioned James St. Patrick Ghost or something. And Per Proctor's sort of like, you need to do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, this was after Greg pulled him over.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point, he already knows what Greg knows because Greg said, you know, Tommy killed Ruiz and you and Tommy did Lobos. So at this point, he's like, oh, he knows something, you know?
That was one of many dumb things that Greg did in last night's episode, which is why his ass should have died. So that was pretty dumb to pull him over because what did he achieve by pulling him over?
It's a pissing contest.
Yeah.
You know, he had to flex on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go to this mentor. Who is he?
Mentor?
Wait, who?
Greg's mentor.
Oh, Greg.
Oh, yeah, Bailey Markham. So Bailey Markham was Greg's instructor at Quantico because all FBI agents have to undergo instruction. Remember Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where she's like training in Quantico?
Yeah.
That's what all FBI agents have to do. And Bailey Markham was one of his professors at Quantico. Okay. And Bailey is in Homeland Security. Remember a couple seasons ago, Greg's like, I may transfer to Homeland Security. He mentions that to Angela.
Mm.
It was via Bailey, like going that route. He's also trained to work in Homeland Security. So Bailey is somebody that he trusts to bounce things off of.
Mm.
Totally makes sense because Bailey was questioning some of his judgments about about why would he go through this whole rigmarole with Reese and not have any papers. And so he was kind of walking him through it. So now it makes sense. I get it. But what I find interesting is only Bailey and Ghost are the only ones who knows that this bug exists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, for now.
But
still, you got to think... What would Greg do with a flash drive? Would he carry it on his person? Would he keep it in his office and his desk? What would you do with a flash drive like that? So, yeah, he's the only one that knows for now, but somebody has to slip up on this flash drive.
Did he leave it at Bailey's?
Not to mention that Mike knows that there's a little piece of evidence too. Mm-hmm. So, because he told him that, yeah. So he asked about it. So that and he's the one that killed Greg. So yeah. He's gonna be looking for it too. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Okay. So now, let's talk about Sandoval. Open discussion. I mean, Greg gets the call while Sandoval's there that Agent Rivera has been dead for a year. So Sandoval's lying. Open discussion.
Yeah, did y'all, I mean, I knew Greg was going to find out.
We called it.
I just did not know how Greg was going to go out. And you called and the I fact that it. Greg was going
to
die.
And I said, will Greg be stupid enough to actually mention it to Sandoval, who works for the biggest drug dealer on this side of the earth?
Right. Yeah. The reason why Greg was dumb in that moment is, if you know that Sandoval is working with Lobos and you understand that whole get down, what makes you think that you're invincible? It's about to go down. You know what I mean? So that just really pissed me off. Like, stop, just shut up. Work undercover, you know, be smart about it. But
I think at that point he probably felt that, you know, he's still technically, when he says that, you know, Lobos threatened his family. And so I just kind of feel like he thinks that maybe he's not that bad to shoot him right then and there, and like maybe he can talk about the situation. That's what I think, you know. I wouldn't do it. I think it was the dumbest decision ever, because clearly this man's back is against the wall, and you know, when you put people in those type of situations, they react, and that's how they react. You're dead. So yeah.
And yeah. I took it like, we've seen Greg do this. Greg, he doesn't hold the cards to his chest. Mm-hmm. Remember when he was stalking Angie, and he was like, I'm gonna find you, girls. Yep. He was outside with the cell phone letters.
Yeah, definitely.
Just standing there. So when he told Mike this, I was like, well, you talk too damn much.
Yes.
You talk too much. As soon as the phone rang, I was like, well, keep quiet. But that's, to me, that wasn't Greg's personality. It was his personality to be like, this is it, Mike. I know you did it, but you don't worry. You'll be fine. So when he got shot, I was like,
bye.
I will defend Greg for just a second. You know, out of everyone on this show, Greg Hart is the most honest and purest. Yes. He just wants the bad guy to be put away. Mm-hmm. And the bad guy is in front of him. So it's natural for his personality to say something to him to let him know that I know this. He's not doing it in a way like, I know. It's more like, dude, I can't believe you just did this. Like, you broke the, you know?
Right. So, but at the same time, I agree with that, but Greg is also one of the people who turned to do something that was going to work in his benefit. He did something a little bit shady.
Yeah.
Just like everybody. Everybody's trying to get, you know, on top or save themselves, or it's a power thing, you know? So, but Greg, you know, as good of a heart as he has, he fell into it as well. But I also got to give him a little bit of credit, because he did try to keep it. Remember when he went to the, he was like, do you want a beer? He was trying to keep it to himself. He was trying to like think and process it for a second. But, you know, Sandoval called him out. So,
yeah. Yep.
I think what was also cool about Greg in this episode is that he, as much as he's angry towards Angela and the entire situation and Ghost and so forth, the fact that he, you know, he found out that she was innocent in this particular scenario, and he was like, no, Angie didn't do this. She's clean in this instance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're the one who's going to have to take the fall for that. And that kind of shows, you know, what you're saying, Bam, about him having a clean and honest sort of heart, I guess, or morals when it comes to, like, the justice system. Mm-hmm. At least. Yeah.
Was there ever was there discussion as to when Greg was going to die?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a lot of discussion.
Uh-huh. And so was there, could he have been, when he got shot the first time, was there maybe thoughts of him actually dying when he got shot? I think it was episode 6?
You know, I think Greg lived longer than any of us thought he would.
Yes. Oh,
for
yeah.
many reasons. I would say because he still had story, and mm-hmm. he still had, you know, he could still be a foil for Angela. Also, Andy Bean's fantastic actor, and we mm-hmm. really
yeah.
like him,
yeah.
and sad to see him go. And
yeah.
So it's like, can we, you know, I think he was even maybe supposed to go as episode earlier. And
yeah.
it's like, no, let's keep him. You know what I mean? We love him. We really like him. We like the character of Greg. Like you said, he is good and true and honest and trying to do his job. His only weaknesses, Angela, and, you know, being kind of like hurt by her and being driven by that. But yeah, he could have, you know, like went earlier, but it yeah, we just wanted to keep him as long as we could.
And Bam killed him off way earlier. Yeah, so
Bam just killed everybody off. And how did you guys throw around the ideas of how he was going to get killed, and what was the landing point? Like, okay, this is how it's got to happen.
Sure. You know, we have different, like, we think of, like, oh, this could be cool, that could be cool. But Courtney always walks us back from cool, you know? Like, if the response to a pitch is, that's cool, that's not really what we go with. We have to go with what is the most organic, what is the story telling us? So there were many different versions, but it started becoming clear that it should be Mike, because Greg would do the right thing and see that it's Mike and be like, I gotta take you down, man, even though I really want to take Angela down, and I was driving towards Angela, and that would get him. And it's a big jump for Mike, because Mike's not a murderer.
Yeah. Right, you know, exactly.
He's not a murderer. This is huge for him, what happened, and he did it out of desperation. My family, Lobos, all of this sort of stuff, and that's how he shot him. It wasn't like coming in, but he did bring a gun. He did bring a gun, so he had some intent, right? Yeah.
I mean, just to jump in right here, it was interesting for me to see kind of like how he deals with it. He still manages to hold his composure, you know, despite this being his first time killing somebody, you know, cold-blooded. So I was surprised to see him be able to, maybe we'll see it, you know, later on, but it was just interesting.
But I think that's his entire demeanor. Yeah. He's just so, you know, cool and...
Killer, though? Like you never killed, and it's your first time killing. You still gonna be a little
shook. I get that.
I don't think I would assume that he's been around that kind of life before. I think he possibly could have maybe shot someone, or like he has a gun, so it doesn't surprise me that he would not freak out.
It wouldn't surprise me if Sandoval has an actual past that we'll find that out about. Find out.
Yeah. That would be it.
Especially with the whole family and the daughter situation. Yeah. Is there anything you can expand on that?
You know, I don't know how much I can reveal right now, because we may reveal it, but he does, you know, he did get involved with Lobos, you know, with Lobos.
Yeah.
So what did he do to get involved?
Exactly. That was the whole thing. Like, well, something had to happen. Like, you had to be some kind of way, or something happened in order for you to get there in the first place. I just find it so fascinating that you guys are so ahead of it, and you're still watching us react to this small part right here, you know? Yes. And you're like, you have no idea what's about to go down.
Exactly.
Let's discuss the task force. So, it's Cooper, Angela, MJ, okay, so my first question regarding Cooper and Angela. First of all, that burrito looked hella nasty. And look, was that ketchup that he put?
I think it was ketchup.
It was hella nasty, but
it wasn't as nasty as that bowl of soup that Milan was eating that day. That looked like human
bone marrow,
bone marrow and whatnot. Okay, but go ahead.
That was pretty terrible. when they were in the kitchen, Angela, you know, asked about Ruiz, and it was interesting because she's having this conversation talking to Cooper, but what she said to James earlier in the episode when he called her in the morning, it seemed to be conflicting. So did she know that Ruiz was already dead and she was playing Cooper?
She don't know.
That's a shock for her.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so MJ says that Greg was the leak. Case is closed. I love how Sandoval just went right in and just played it. What did he say? He says, I don't believe that. he just went right in and just completely played his cool. So unless he mentions, they mentioned that there was no forced entry, so unless he left the window open, he knew his killer and let him in. And so Angela says Greg never left his window open. So that was ding, ding, ding. That was clue for Angela. MJ then throws shade at Angie. Random evidence, dress, or bra, bracelet. After everything you put him through, she said, good luck, girl. What's up with MJ? What's your take on... is it a jealousy thing?
She be hating.
Well, I think, you know, it's when you, it's like when you working and you see somebody with potential and you see them end up dating, sleeping with the person who we are investigating. Because let's keep it real. Angela is dating with, she's dating a drug dealer. She's dating the man they've been looking for from the start. So I think with MJ, it's like, girl, you better get it together. You better get it together fast. And even with this investigation, again, we only saw Angie walk out with Ghost in cuffs. But like MJ said, your stuff was on the bed. All of this stuff. So, I wouldn't be surprised if later it came back where they started to assume that Angie and Ghost were working together to kill Greg. You know what I mean? Because she was too close. She was too close for comfort. Mm-hmm. And she's too close to comfort with Ghost and she was with Greg.
Yeah.
Not to mention, something that was a little surprising to me, and we could be we're kind of jumping back a bit, when Ghost was going through all of the stuff that Greg had on the wall and on a desk, Angela was in the mix. Like, how awkward is that, Angie, that you are in this home, sleeping in this bed with this guy that's not only investigating your ex, but investigating you, too? Like, did she never, ever decide, like, to try to go through his things and see that, you know, she was all up in the mix? That was a little weird for me.
Go ahead.
Well, that's an interesting thing you talked about last episode about the phone and leaving your purse around. Yeah. Women should sleep with their purse, which is so hilarious. But,
clutch it.
Yeah, clutch it. Don't say thank you. That's a good tip. Oh, I love that. I was like, good tip. It's all about people underestimating others, right? Okay. Yeah. Angela underestimates Greg. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a simp. Mm-hmm. He wants me. He won't look through my stuff. I don't need to look through his stuff. I got him good. You know, it's Greg underestimating Mike. Mike's not going to shoot me. I can confront him here. And he does. People are constantly underestimating each other because they think they have all the power.
Right. Wow.
Was Angela... So, did Angela just think that... Her cooch was the answer to it, because I was under the impression that maybe she was playing him, not just, you know, because at this point they got keys to each other's apartment. Like they literally got back together in no time. So I wondered, was she playing him?
I'm trying to think. I know, because we've already played that before, right? Yeah. Where she was playing him, and now it's just. For me, it's like, you know, screwing him calm, that sort of thing. Of like, I know that he's kind of upset. If I can get with him, what he really wants is me. Mm-hmm. So if I give him me, then he'll calm down about trying to get me, because he's just upset because he wants me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, you know, hubris. It's the arrogance, right?
Yeah.
He wants me. I'll give him me until I'm done.
Wow.
Anything else about the task force before we go to Club Truth? Okay, so Club Truth. Milan is ear hustling. I mean, boy, his ears are everywhere.
Everywhere.
He hears, sees everything. And so he sees Karen and James coming out the club. He hears something about papers and contracts. So then he goes and tells Tommy, we don't kill Ghost yet. We need him for the black tie event, because now he's going to sign these papers. And then we could, you know, smuggle drugs and do whatever with all the businesses that he have at the club. Then Tommy goes back to Ghost, and then he tells him what's going on. And then Tommy meets with, what's the guy who's number two? Petar.
Yeah.
Meets with him, and then he starts getting into his head. Well, you know, how do you feel that he shows love? He shows me more love over you. So he's in his head. He's like, I got a plan. If you trust me, are you down? Okay. Then Tasha, Ghost, and Tommy are now also at home talking about the plan. So Tasha then questions, well, you were late last night. Where were you with Angela? Does she need to knock it off as regards to this whole, like, keep throwing jabs at Jamie? Does she have a right to keep asking what's going on?
Well, they just had sex.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like,
But remember, Tasha was like, it's just sex. Be gone.
Yeah, she asked. Remember, she was like, it doesn't mean we're back together, does it? Like, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Almost like, is there still hope? But then he was like, no, you're right. I should leave. You know, so it was almost like, okay, well, I guess that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that once you you stir those emotions back up, or you get back in the bed or whatever, it's sort of like, okay, now you feel in like a little bit like with your chest out. Like, I can ask some questions, you know? So I don't knock her for that necessarily. Pertaining to Tommy, we knew Tommy had a plan, didn't we?
We
knew Tommy had a plan. Tommy wasn't going to kill Ghost.
We knew this.
Yeah.
No, and it was good to see Tommy working it, because when it was happening, I didn't know where it was going. When he was with Petar, when he had to talk with him, I was like, well, what is Tommy doing? Mm-hmm. I knew it was something, like we all discussed, but I didn't think it would be that. So I'm glad that Tommy got to kind of show. Tommy really showed himself this
season. Yeah, this whole season, yeah. Tommy has been really, on top of it. Yeah. He
really showed himself. And because, you know, before we went into the season, the conversation, it was always Ghost was the top dude. Tommy was kind of, he was like kind of top, but he was hot-headed, didn't really know what he had going on, wasn't strategic, but the tables have turned.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is we used to see Tommy at home with Holly and Tommy was doing a lot of drugs, right? But now we don't get this entire season. We haven't seen him do many, you know, much drugs. He's in these streets. Yeah. Tommy's actually in these streets, which kind of symbolizes like that street smart. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just, it's cool. Like Cornelia said, it's like just seeing him take this role is really dope.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Continuing with Ghost, Tasha, and Tommy. So Ghost is pissed that Tommy killed Ruiz and messed up his plan. And then he's in Tasha's ear. And then when she mentions Holly, he avoids the topic. Why won't they just tell her Holly is dead? What's the big deal?
Well, you know, how I always interpret in the room, so this is just me speaking, mm-hmm. I interpret it as shame. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm ashamed of what I did. This is not like a proud moment. Even though he did it to protect Ghost, right? He chose Ghost. It still is like, I'm Tommy. I kill bad guys. I don't kill women. I don't kill children or mm-hmm. unborn children. That's how I'm interpreting it. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a shame thing. I don't want Tasha to think differently of me because mm-hmm. I did this, even though Tasha said gee and it was for Ghost. But you know, we all have shame, and then it's inexplicable of when we feel shame and when we don't.
Not to mention, I kind of feel like, you know, she's a woman with children, you know, she's going to react to that so much more differently than the guys did. And so, you know, they know how Tasha rolls.
In addition to the fact that she had gotten sort of close with Holly, so it's not like detached like she was before. It's like, and then Tommy is the one who brought her in. So it's like, I killed that one that you got close with. Yeah. It's kind of shameful.
Speaking of getting close. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed that this entire episode, and, you know, I'm sure that's going to come up next season, we didn't hear about Lakeisha. Is Lakeisha alive? Is she dead?
I was getting ready. I said, there's a lot of people that are asking why. I have an opinion as to why, but I would like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think what Gary said last week, he was like, well, you know, next season. Mm-hmm. Next season.
That was smart. Yeah, yeah. That was smart. Yep. That was good.
To be honest, who cares? Somebody cares.
No, but I think, to me, I'm taking it as, it says something if Lakeisha lingers for this long, because that's Tasha's. The longer it lingers, the longer it's going to build up for us, and the longer it represents their actual friendship. So when stuff hits the fan, because let's say Lakeisha is dead, and let's say Tommy has something to do with it, that's going to change the dynamic for everybody.
Right. Especially with Holly being killed by Tommy.
Let's say she left town and didn't say anything. That's still going to change the dynamic because Tommy didn't tell Tasha that he sent his best friend away for the man that they just killed. I don't mind the lingering of the Lakeisha.
I actually don't either, only because there's so many other storylines that I feel is more important.
Sure. Yes.
Who cares? Like, we could season four, maybe season five, she will reemerge. Maybe that's she's fine. In Queens, or maybe she's in Jersey, or maybe she's dead. It's one of the two, but you know.
You're right. There's so much. It's the finale. Mm-hmm. There's so many more pressing things happening.
Mm-hmm. Why is Tasha running her mouth back to Tommy? What's your take on this? She
trusts him. I don't think, I don't know. I'll let you guys jump in on that.
I don't see a problem with it. I still think when Tasha told Tommy a couple episodes ago what Ghost was planning to do, I really think that saved her ass.
Yeah.
So I don't, I don't have a problem with it per se. Now, if it backfires, then sure. But right now,
Well, okay. So I kind of feel like Tasha just shut up because I like that. Maybe it's the dynamic of Tasha and Ghost, like that whole thing of like, I got your back and it's on lock here. You know, I understand. I totally get it. Like in her mind, she's like, Ghost has had these plans before that have fallen through. We can't really trust Ghost right now. So she's trying to go to Tommy because remember, the whole time that she was getting with Tommy and Holly, she's working with Tommy to, and he's showing some sort of like plan, and they were getting close and stuff like that. I think she is sort of trusting Tommy a little bit more, probably even more so than Ghost. Mm-hmm. But still, I guess the fan in me wants that old feeling back of like, I got your back and it's all locked.
Not to mention that I think Tasha just wants to make sure her name don't get caught up in the mix with Ghost for telling Tommy the plan originally. Because she tells him, she's like, don't tell Ghost that I told you this. And so that's probably why she called him like, yo, what's going on? This and this and this and that. You know, I guess maybe too, she kind of feels like they all have this understanding. And that's why, you know, they talk to each other the way they do. And it's like, Tommy, what the F? This and this and that. Because they have that relationship. But a lot has changed that Tasha doesn't know about with the Holly situation and with all the stuff that's going on. Right. So I think once she finds that out, that's going to change her relationship with Tommy for good.
Mm-hmm. I'm 50-50. I'm with you, Robin. There's a part of me I feel she should shut up. Mm-hmm. But then also, it seems as though, because, you know, a couple episodes ago, they were saying to each other, no more secrets, no more secrets. And so they would tell each other some things, but then they would not tell each other certain things. And then we get to now, let's discuss Milan. Holy shit. Who saw that coming?
I did not. That was so badass. Oh, my God.
Let's talk about that scene. Let's break that scene down. That scene was everything. First of all, Dre. Let's go to Dre, because that's where it started. We all were trying to figure out, where is Dre going with the homies in the hood? The whole stick up plan and how they gonna get money at the club. We were wondering, why are they even talking about it? But I think Cornelia made a good point that you guys don't write anything for no reason. Like, even if you write it several episodes, it'll come up later. So we now understand that this is one of the reasons why it came up. So that was, first I was like, Dre, what are you doing? Like, you letting the boys in the hood come into the club? Like, you got it good right now.
But at least they were dressed the part.
Everybody who's going to go thief dresses the part if you go to a party. Right. So I thought that it was about to go down. Yeah. But, I mean, that was so G, how Ghost goes up to Milan, he has him hemmed up, and then Milan is like, what are you doing? You know, like, you're a fool kind of deal. And then he's like, look around. Mm-hmm. Dre is like, I got your boy. Yeah. His other boy has his other boy. Like, it was just so dope. That moment was, that moment was just, I think she had all of the women. Yeah. We all felt the power. We're like, bucking up, look.
And the moment she walked in with the white dress, I was like, oh, this bitch got a gun in her purse. Oh, I feel it. She's about to kill somebody. Can you walk us through, I didn't think that the Milan story, or at least him being dead, would happen so quickly.
Right?
Yeah.
Just take us through the writer's room as to how you guys created this freaking awesome way to take Milan down.
Yeah. I would say that is all Courtney.
Wow.
Nice. Hey, Courtney.
Yes, Courtney.
Yep. Yeah, all Courtney. Milan definitely is a formidable opponent. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? He had been, you know, there the mm-hmm. entire season, right? Since episode one or two, he was kind of there as Dean. And so the expectation is, how are you ever going to take this guy down? Yeah. And so story-wise, what if they do? Mm-hmm. What if they do? Like, quickly. That is unexpected. Mm-hmm. Who would have ever thought that, right? Because it felt like maybe that would be, like, the season ender. Like, something goes wrong with Milan, or Ghost has to get out of town because Milan's after him because he finds out about the plan, whatever it is.
Right.
But that's all Courtney's, you know, decision to, you know, this is unexpected. Mm-hmm. And nice. Ghost can do it. If Ghost and Tommy are working together, they can do anything. And this isn't an example of
and
that.
What was so genius mm-hmm. about that is that from the viewer standpoint, we're all thinking there's so much conflict and everybody's secretive and everybody's working on their own plan. But all the plans come together in that one moment. That's what makes it so genius.
Yeah.
But then, and somebody go ahead. But what happened to the boys, to the other guys? Do we don't know that yet?
The goons.
So. Oh, they went back to drink beer.
Yeah, they went back to drink
beer. When they were at the warehouse, and after Ghost left and Tommy meets up with PTR, he was like, where the rest of the boys
at? Got it.
Yeah, PTR got them on.
So Milan is dead, and the boys are now going to work with Tommy as they now have the whole business of selling drugs in the club. I have two questions. I'm going to assume, did Tasha take out Milan's wife? Because she has to be dead.
You can say loose end.
I'm going to say no.
So she's alive.
Yes.
She needs to die.
That's a loose end.
She got to die.
Yeah, that's a loose
end.
She
has to die. And then another question that I had was, being that Tommy told Tasha, I got this, you know, I've always protected Ghost. So he had a plan. Tasha was in the middle. Ghost was oblivious. But how did it all come together to where Tasha, the last one standing, like, move, bitch, I'll take you down. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand how it all came together. I mean, it's great that it did, but there seemed to be so much confusion between the three, yet they knew they were keeping secrets.
Right. I think it's, you know, Tommy's like, let me plan it. Mm-hmm. I got a plan. And then he goes to Milan at the end of 9, Ghost has to die, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to kill Ghost is what we're going to do. We're going to get, you know, and then we have Milan being like, not before we get the clubs, that sort of thing. It feels like it was all Tommy's plan, and then off screen we don't see it.
Yeah.
Usually we like to play fair with the audience. Uh-huh. We show everything. But this was one of the instances where it's more exciting to not be ahead of the plan, right? Mm-hmm. Or to be with them in the plan. And so off screen sometimes Tommy told Ghost the entire plan, and Ghost was in.
Okay.
Not to mention, we also see when Tommy goes to talk to Tasha, he also says stick to the plan. So she knew. I mean, they all had this plan. You could tell that they were all kind of working together. And I feel like what was great about this episode is we kind of saw the old Ghost and Tommy relationship for a few instances where he was like, didn't see anything. Well, he said didn't see nothing, or didn't say nothing, or something like that.
Say shit that ain't shit.
So it was cute to see them have that brotherly moment. Yeah. Again in this episode, and I just think, like what you said, you know, a lot of it probably happened off camera,
right.
But you know, I thought that they were working together at some point in the episode. I was like, okay, yeah, they definitely have this lockdown. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
So now, before we get to the ending with Angie, let's backtrack. So there was two conversations that happened with James and Angie before she did what she did, which we'll discuss. So he called her in the morning. They're having this conversation about Ruiz. We kind of already brushed on that, and then they met at the diner. She asked, what did you do last night? He's like, I went to the club. He's like, did you see Greg? He said, I did. He pulled me over. He tried to accuse me of killing Lobos. I told him he had no proof. He tried to get me to say you're the leak. I told him you were innocent. Now, do you believe me? I told you I need to protect you from Greg. Mm-hmm. Grabs her hand. I'll do anything to protect you.
Yep.
Then she slides her hand from under. Clue number two, ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go to now Angie and your thoughts of what she did. I have a lot to say. So what's your take on her coming into the club with her arresting jacket, because she didn't have on her club outfit. When she walked into the club, I was like, oh, she's not here to party.
Uh-huh.
What's your take?
I feel like she clearly was putting all of those things together to feel like, like, of course, with the with what he said, that moment that you just said where he grabbed her hand, he said that, I told you I need to protect you. See, it's the words that make me so mad, because it's like the writers are doing a good job, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, give you guys your props, right? But it pisses me off at the same time, because it's like, there's still so many like loops in there that you could assume things from. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it sounds as though, yeah, I took care of him so that I could protect you, type of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
To piggyback off what you're saying, I feel like this entire season we've seen that happen over and over again, where Angela and Ghost just kind of, when they talk, they never really say shit. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They say so much, but they don't really say, you know, what it is. And I feel like that just kind of shows where the relationship is. Like, that communication has just been so faulty from jump. And I'm like, just say what it is and then done. But then, again, we wouldn't have a show if that was the case. So.
Right.
And again, going back to the very beginning, Ghost, you don't date the feds. If you are selling drugs, you cannot date. I don't care. Of course, he didn't know who she was in the very beginning.
But
when he
knew,
found out, he should have just dipset. He should have left. And that should have been it, because Andy shouldn't have broke up with her. Tasha told you to keep fucking that. She tell you to stop. And the minute they broke up, Angie's got in her feelings, and then it switched to all business. So, with that said, Ghost wouldn't be here in this way. He still would have kind of been here, but he wouldn't be there in this way if he would have just stayed on plan. Because Milan wasn't killing Angie, obviously.
So the question is Angie now just trying to do what's right, or is she scorned?
I think it's both.
I think it's both.
I think it's both, but go ahead.
You go ahead.
I think, I get why she did it. Greg was the innocent person out of all of this, or started off. She did him wrong. She's trying to. She wants justice for Greg. You know, she you know, all the signs lead up to Ghost from the fingerprints, which I don't understand. If the crime scene investigation, they went through the whole entire house, but Captain Angie comes and finds the prints. Whatever. I'm not just whatever. Okay, whatever. But so she wants to save him, and she has this guilty conscience of everything that she's done. Right. So it makes sense. But the only problem is, and I wrote in my notes, guilt has set in and she wants justice for Greg with the clues from James. She thinks he did it and wants justice for his murder. The only problem is, well, let's see. You've been messing with the drug dealer. Mm-hmm. You'd have been telling secrets. So do you really think that you're going to get away with this? I believe that Ghost won't even get to the prison cell. He won't even make the 911 call. He will be out before. He'll be out 2 minutes before he even walks into the place. Because let's think about it. So, Tommy already wants Angela dead, yep, like a long time ago.
Right.
So you really think Tommy's gonna let Angela keep his homeboy in jail when he actually needs Ghost to run Club Truth,
mm-hmm,
so that he can push her drugs?
But does he?
Yeah, he do.
Because think about it. If
the papers are signed, I mean, yes, Dre will obviously maybe the front person for it, but...
No, I'm not talking about the run the club. Okay. If Ghost is out, I kind of think Tommy going to let him chill in there for a while. And I want to see Ghost in jail. I want to see how he operates back in that setting, back in that whole neighborhood thing. But if Ghost is out, the oversight is there. So selling drugs in the club isn't as easy as it would be if Ghost is up at Rikers. Sure. Because it's going to turn into the hood rat spot. As soon as Ghost goes in jail, they selling drugs, dope, whatever in there. It's going to be Party City. So will Tommy spring to try to get him out, or will Tommy let him stay in there so he can keep doing what he's doing?
But is Karen and her dad going to still be on board with Ghost being in?
The papers are signed.
Technically, but I don't know what the papers say, but wouldn't Ghost have to be there, James have to be there?
Which is why I believe that Tommy will make sure that Ghost is out, because he always there to protect him. And then let's remember, Tasha's also involved in this too. So the fact that Angela has been sleeping with the devil all this time, Tommy and Tasha are going to do whatever it takes to get his ass out of jail.
Yep.
And then now the goal is to take her down. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So because my biggest problem with Angela right now is like, here you are, like that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Right? Yeah, y'all know.
But that's like that. You did all of this shady stuff too, and then you're just gonna try to, like, because you're scorned, you're just gonna try to take him down. It's just like, I would say, just it's a wash. You know, you messed up, I messed up. Let's just go our own ways, type of deal. And then sorry, Greg, it happened. You know, you just got caught in the line of fire or whatever. But I just think it's just messed up how she took him down like that.
I think even,
but I got
even
a prediction, y'all. I got a prediction. Go ahead.
I want to hear it. I think, though, especially in this case, Greg's dead, and you might think it's Ghost or whatever the case may be, but it could have been as simple as, like, look, you know, what really happened? She could have had a conversation with him and really dig more into it. I felt like she went in blindly, and a lot of it having to do with the fact that she was scorned. And that's why I think she went in the club knowing that this was his biggest night, and arrested him in front of these investors and whoever, you know, came
They can never, ever get back together after one of that.
Oh,
there's no way that James is going to play the chicken head and just be like, oh, okay, well, you know. No, like, they are absolutely, I believe, are going to come for blood regarding the situation. Yeah. We gotta get into Tariq, Kanan, and Jukebox. I love when you preach on this one, so hit it.
Well, you know, now I feel bad for little Tariq. I feel bad for him. Because Tariq is, again, he's that kid. This is what happens when you don't let your kids hang out with their hood cousins on the weekend. He got the package from Kanan.
Oh, did y'all peep how he was just...
He was just out carrying the package. Yeah, he's like, just... Oh, this is the package.
Yeah.
So the whole setup was just it was just really unfortunate that he is now caught up in this life, all for approval, all for some type of father figure that he wished he had from Ghost. It just sucks. This Tariq's toast, man. He is gone. Like, yeah. And my thing is, like, are they, so Kanan has these feelings for him, are they gonna torture him, are they just gonna keep him, hang out, have him drinking lean, like, what's gonna happen with this
I
kid?
I don't think he's gone. I'm sorry,
who?
I don't think Tariq's
I think he's gonna be alive, but are they gonna torture him?
I know, I don't, but
I
this,
don't think so.
I think that
I hope not.
I'll just give my predictions. I'll add my predictions. But they know, people were like, well, why, how come we only saw Kanan's arm? Well, because you don't give away too much information. Yeah. They know the tattoos. They know that it's Kanan.
Yeah.
So the fact that also Ghost's child is being kidnapped, Ghost will be out of jail within six like minutes this. Of episode four, episode one of season four. He's going to be out of jail, like, because he has too much going on. But
bend those bars.
But Tasha will eventually have to kill Jukebox.
Yeah.
She's going to have to kill her because yeah. that's her child. And then some people are also saying, well, you know, they wanted my Petty Pablo alter ego to drag Tasha because, you know, Tariq was hanging out. But what Tariq was doing, he was doing what kids do.
The teens do. Yeah.
They come home around 7 o'clock. You know, you text your mom, hey, I'm with so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. So I don't feel like Tasha did anything bad to make herself feel like she was a bad parent. Mm. It's just that the situation happened. I do think that with Jukebox coming in, because Kanan was in his feelings about the whole situation. So when Jukebox came in, she was like, dummy, they got money. What we're going to do is you're not going to kill them yet. We're going to take the money, then we're going to kill them. Boom, end of the story.
Right.
Get out your feelings. This is good.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly getting feelings for Tariq, yeah. right? Yeah.
And obviously he should. You know, he killed his son. His Drayden went over to the other side. He's lonely. He's lost. He's in his feelings. So Tariq chose him.
Yeah. Yes, which he feels like Sean didn't do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tariq is a good kid in the sense of, like, he's just not some little, he's not a hood rat. He's not, you know, annoying or whatever. He does what he says, what Kanan tells him to do and all of this stuff. It's just really unfortunate how he's getting caught up. But you're right. Well, first of all, we were curious to see if Jukebox was going to come back. And I thought that was dope. So we know that she's going to be in the next season.
DC cop on in New York.
Yeah. So, I mean, but just the turn of it, of like Ghost having Sean originally as sort of his son, you know, type of figure. And now Tariq with Kanan. I mean, I think we talked about that before, but it's just crazy to see it come to pass.
What I thought was really interesting in this entire scene, well, the dynamic between Jukebox and oh, it's not Slim. Kanan. Yes. It was just interesting. They're conflicting right now. I just don't think that they're in tuned, and I see that being a major storyline for the next season. I could see them having issues, and I personally, I'm going to throw out my prediction right now. So I think that, well, if Ghost and Tommy and Tasha don't get Kanan first, I think Kanan might be somewhat instrumental in Tariq staying alive.
Mm. I think Tariq is going to kill Kanan, me personally.
Think that. Or that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were, before you came to Power, you were actually working on other shows such as Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice. You were an assistant to Shonda Rhimes. Mm-hmm. Damn.
I mean, dropped the mic on that one.
How did that happen? And then the transition from you moving from Shondaland to, mm-hmm. to Courtney with Power.
I was here in LA trying to get jobs in TV because I wanted to be a TV writer, and I knew that the best path is to be working on a show and get hired onto the show. I went to Florida State University for film school. I have my master's degree from there, mm-hmm. and I sent my resume in blindly to a job description of be the assistant to a showrunner. I'm like, okay. And then I got a call for an interview from someone who got their bachelor's degree from Florida State, and they saw Florida State on my resume. Wow. And they called me in. I had an interview with the assistant that was leaving. They passed me on to Shonda. I had an interview with Shonda. Then I got the job.
Wow.
And met Courtney totally separate from that through friends who weren't even really in TV, just other friends. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that she was working in television. And as I was leaving Shonda, Courtney and I were talking, and I was telling her about what I wanted to do with my career, and she was like, I'll be your mentor.
Wow.
She just said, I'll be your mentor, right? And I was like, okay. And she kept true to that. She read all of my scripts. She gave me notes. She wrote me recommendation letters for all of the ABC writing program, NBC, CBS, all of those things.
Wow.
She was always invested in me. And then she got her own TV show and hired me on as the writer's assistant and then hired me as staff writer. And she told me before even season one was over in the writer's room, she called me into her office and was like, Sophia, if we get a season two of Power, I would like you to be the staff writer next season.
Wow. That's amazing.
She's amazing. So it's like, I tell people, work hard, get out there, but there's always that element of luck, you know? Like, I met Courtney in a way that had nothing to do with television.
Yeah.
But we happened to be in television. It's like luck is when opportunity meets preparation. Right? And I was ready, and I wanted, and I kept being ready, and Courtney's just an anomaly, and she just is an amazing person. I wish everybody in Hollywood was like that, you know? But, you know, people are grimy and afraid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, she's not.
You're the prime example. I always say that when the student is ready, the teacher shows up.
Yep. Yes.
You're the prime example of that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Start. And so what, here are these two amazing women who are African-American and making moves in television.
Yes.
So what did you pull from Shonda that you were able to contribute with Courtney and Power?
What I learned from Shonda was work hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's a hard worker.
Yeah.
First in, last out. When I was working there, first in, last out. Mm-hmm. With all the writers. She goes over all the scripts. She works hard. She says yes to everything. She wrote a book about saying yes to everything, right?
Yeah.
That's what I got from her. Is like this. Nothing is magic. Nothing is just like, oh, this happened to me. It's earned. It's sweat. It's blood. It's tears. It's stress. You know, and she had a whole run with her show and that was in the media and stress and all these sort of things. I learned so much from her regarding that prepared me for Courtney of saying yes, working hard, not, you know, like just and earning being an assistant and fetching coffee and all that sort of stuff. You earn like a thick skin, which is important. With Courtney, you don't really need a thick skin because she's awesome and she's just awesome, but it does help.
Yeah.
And is there any specific episodes that you've written yet? Or
yes, I wrote episode 7. So that's the one when MJ comes in. So MJ was first in my episode.
Yeah.
And with all of that and with when Milan is showing them around and beats Tommy up.
What does that mean exactly when a writer says, I wrote episode 7? Do you literally mean the entire script? And then are the other writers giving their input? Are there rewrites? How does that work?
So basically what we do is we break the episode together. So breaking means we know we want this to happen, but how do we figure it out? So we break it open and we, oh, that's the story. So the entire room helps with that.
Okay.
Then we create a story. Courtney comes in and says, yes, no, yes, or this is the story, but reverse these beats, put them in order.
Okay.
Then we blend it all together and we do separate storylines and then we put them together into an episode. And then Courtney says, great, I write an outline. The writers read it. They give me notes. Courtney reads it, gives me notes. We send it to the network. Then we do the same process over with the script.
Wow.
So it's me writing the outline and the episode, but I'm not doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have input from everybody, and then Courtney has final pass on the episode, fixing dialogue. You know, she has all the characters in her, and she knows their sound perfectly.
Just to jump off of that question, how long does the process for something like that usually take?
We give about a week to break, then to go to outline. It's probably about 4 days to write it. And this isn't including weekends, so weekends help extend it out. Then we get notes. Stars is very good about giving us notes very quickly. Mm. Some networks will wait and just, like, you know, pull it out. So they give us notes pretty quickly. Then I go to script. I got about a week and a half, 2 weeks to write the script, which is about average. Sometimes it's more rushed. All in about a month. From beginning to end.
Wow. Each episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're staggered. So.
Okay.
We didn't get to discuss James and Proctor, but just tweet us. But so let's quickly go around with any kind of predictions.
Yes.
Janisha?
Well, I kind of threw mine out there. I do definitely see, you know, Tasha being big mama bear coming out to protect her child, and she's out for blood. So I see her and Jukebox having a showdown. I definitely see her looking for Kanan, and I definitely think that Tommy and Ghost and Tasha are going to make sure that child gets out safely. So.
My prediction is we've been hearing, and we actually heard Courtney say on Twitter that Dre is the baby ghost, or he's ghost, or whatever, the next ghost, whatever you call it. But since Ghost is in jail now. That's almost, to me, kind of like when Kanan was in jail and Ghost and Tommy had to take over and run the streets. That seems to me like now Tommy and Dre have this sort of like cohesiveness. They're getting along. So maybe something might go on there where they are sort of doing their thing and he becomes like in Ghost's shadow.
Okay. Piggybacking off of what Robin said, with that said, that's why I kind of think that Tommy isn't going to be the one rushing to get Ghost out of jail. Because if Dre still wants to sell dope, but he still wants to be Ghost, him and Tommy are in lockstep, like you said. So with Ghost still in prison, they can do what they want to do inside the club, which Ghost really doesn't agree with. I also think the minute that they find out that Kanan has Tariq, I think Tommy is going to be the one that is rising to fury about it. Because, yes, that's Tasha's son, but Tariq is like Tommy's son as well.
Yeah, remember he was like, this family business. So he feels
so
like
So I think he's going to be the one that causes hell about the Tariq thing.
Couple of things. I think that, I do think that Tommy, I think Ghost will obviously have to get out of jail because I don't believe that Tommy will be able to run the club and so forth without Ghost. So by him, Skype call,
That's not
fair. Okay. So I think he has to get him out, and I think Tommy's going to use leverage. You either get my boy out, or I'm going to fucking kill you, Angela. And because Angela has so much dirt, I don't believe that Ghost with Proctor, and you know, Proctor's so damn nosy, always asking questions about Angela. He's going to make sure to help get him out because Angela has been sleeping with the devil. I believe that Tariq is going to kill Kanan. I think Tasha is going to kill Jukebox. Dre. I think Kanan will kill Dre. And I think that the task force, so that their storyline still can go coexist, they now have to investigate who killed Greg.
Yeah.
And so at some point, Sandoval has to die. He'll probably die season four. But I predict that this show will only go 5 seasons. Go, you know, bust this hard 5 seasons.
Yeah, everybody and everything. Yeah, no worries.
He's officially killed the season.
Yeah. So, and,
right, that's true.
Yeah, and so Sandoval will die in season 4, and I'm not sure if Kanan will make it to the end. But Tariq, I think will eventually have to take him out.
Yeah. Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
Yes. Give it to us.
I predict that season 4 will be the best season of Power.
Yeah,
I think it's going to get better and better. And I know that's like, oh, of course it is. No, honestly.
No, we believe it.
Yeah.
It is. I'm writing episode 409.
Ooh, already. Right. 409 already?
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fire.
Yeah.
It's a great, great season of Power. Okay. It's a great, great season. It'll be worth the wait.
So is there, I know we have to go, but can you give us something without getting fired? Like, you've 9 episodes. Can you give us something? Like, will we see Keisha? Who's not, like, has any series regular been killed off for season 4
right,
yet?
Right, yeah. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that.
She's like, I need my job, boy.
Yeah, I need my job. Okay, more than I need to.
Okay. Good point. Last question. The boy from Fast and the Furious, the Asian boy.
Yeah.
He's coming back. So does this have anything to
coming
do...
Back. He's
gonna
I'm, be,
I'm,
he's
I'm joining coming back. Us. He's coming for season 4. Does this have anything to do with the
Dylan?
The Dylan.
With Dylan?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. But I'm sure if you just Google some stuff, you'll find some stuff. Yeah. Okay.
All right, let so everyone smart.
Know. And who knows what shows up on Deadline, too. Deadline Hollywood.
So. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Let everyone know where you can be found on social media.
I can be found at Safia with an A on Twitter. That's S-A-F-I-A with an A.
You can find me on all social media at Janisha_MissVI.
And I am on all social media platforms at Robin Ayers.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Kanelia.
You can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. Thank you guys so much. And I just want to give a shout out to you ladies. A lot of them have been doing stuff outside of here at AfterBuzz. I saw you for Target. You're constantly doing red carpet stuff. You damn near on a Comedy World tour. So look for them. Look for all of the ladies outside of the hosting because they have a lot of great things that's
going on. You too, Bam.
Let's talk about that. Bam is over here conquering the world as well. So.
Thank you. But you know, just follow us outside of here after Buzz for this show because unfortunately you won't see the four of us together until June.
Yes, but you guys, thank you so much. YouTube, Twitter, you guys are extended family. Y'all are power Seriously, yes, we just give you guys props and thank you so much for sticking in there with us.
And thank you to our guests.
Thank
you all so much. Great season. Can't wait to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Oh, damn. Well, this is it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you guys next year, 2007 of June.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.